This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله أولا وآخرا ظاهرا وباطنا. Praise him subhanahu wa ta'ala as always, as he deserves always to be praised. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, who had given us Ramadan. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, who had given us the ability to do whatever we did in Ramadan, to be able to get closer to him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to have this opportunity to look inward at ourselves. I hope that we had had this opportunity just to discover again what is the state of our heart and how close or far are we to Allah Azza wa Jal, and what is it that we really want in life. So alhamdulillah that Allah Azza wa Jal had given us all this, and we ask Allah to accept from us everything that we've done in Ramadan, that he forgives what we have missed, forgives what we have done wrong, and that Allah Azza wa Jal had forgiven us. Ameen. We ask before the end of this month that Allah Azza wa Jal would completely forgive us. So between the two Ramadans, we are forgiven, and we hope from Allah Azza wa Jal that his forgiveness would extend to everything that we have done previous to that, so that we are the people of Jannah. We have deserved to be the people of Jannah through his mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we've escaped from the punishment of hellfire. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen, and salah and salam upon always upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the one who brought all this guidance to us, and the one who taught us how to be close to Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who showed this to us in practice so that it becomes easy for us to see how it is that we can be close to him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what does it mean to be lived for that iman, to be lived for that taqwa, to be lived. So inshallah, this today's session is the last session in this series, and it is about Eid. And although, I mean, we still have the 30th of Ramadan, and for some of us, we still have the 29th to finish. And then beyond that, we still have the 30th of Ramadan. And some of us, subhanAllah, have already started the 30th of Ramadan in some parts of the world today. So may Allah Azza wa Jal accept from everybody, no matter where you are, all of us are united in this Ramadan, and all of us are united in what happens to this ummah. So may Allah Azza wa Jal, right, cement this unity and increase the love that we have for each other, and make us all feel like we are part of one ummah, not fragmented by geography or by color or by language, but that all of us have one common purpose, and that common purpose is the pleasing of Allah Azza wa Jal through what we do on this earth. So for Eid, inshallah. So I said, as I'm talking about Eid, I also don't want us to forget that we still have one day to finish. So don't skip that day. And maybe, inshallah, I'll come back, inshallah, to remind all of us of that. Don't skip that day, meaning thinking that one day or one night is left, there's no need to do anything in it. It's still one night of Ramadan and one day of Ramadan, and it's still Ramadan. So as you're still, inshallah, getting ready and maybe excited for Eid, don't forget about that. You still are in Ramadan itself. So don't empty that night, empty that day of your dua, because still accepted, of your fasting, of your salah, is still needed. We still need it. So don't empty it, inshallah, of those virtuous acts, because it is these acts that make this Eid possible. So subhanAllah, okay, so let's begin, inshallah. What we want to talk about, and if you have questions, I see here questions about insurance and long-term disability insurance, inshallah. Just write your questions, inshallah. And if I'm able, if I can answer them, I'll answer them, inshallah. This is coming from Instagram. So Eid, inshallah. So what we want to do when talking about Eid, we want to talk about manners, and we don't going to talk about meaning. The meaning of Eid and the manners of Eid, inshallah. Hopefully we can take this and we can experience Eid maybe at a better level, a deeper level, and enjoy it maybe even more, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen, if Allah enables us to do this. Keeping in mind, of course, that all of us, or maybe most of us, are experiencing Eid still under some conditions of lockdown. So are we going to be able to pray Eid? A lot of places, maybe not. Are we able going to be to see family? Maybe that will be very limited. So under these circumstances, what does Eid mean? So we're going to talk about also the matters of Eid in general, but also to try to discover the meaning of Eid, so that even with some of these things or without some of these things that we have gotten used to in Eid, still Eid is Eid, inshallah, and we should do our best to celebrate it and to enjoy it, bi-ibnillah azza wa jalla. So when you finish Ramadan and when you finish the day of Ramadan, right, this is happens by Maghrib, and you break your fast and you begin the night of Eid. You break your fast and you begin the night of Eid. That's when the night of Eid begins and Ramadan ends. So when that happens and it's Eid al-Fitr, the first thing that happens is that that night of Eid, right, till the morning until you pray Eid is a night of takbir and a morning of takbir. Is a night and a morning of takbir. So Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions it in the Quran. And that is enough of an emphasis that it be mentioned in the Quran. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wants ease for you, not difficulty. وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, so that when you follow Allah's command and you fast Ramadan, you complete the dates of Ramadan, okay, the assigned dates of fasting. وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهِ, so that you say takbir to Allah Azza wa Jal for what He had guided you to, and so that you'd be thankful. So we are saying this takbir to thank Allah Azza wa Jal and to announce His guidance, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal, why are we doing this takbir when we're saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. That's one form of takbir. Why were we saying this takbir? Which begins why? You know, when you break your fast, all that night. But let's look at the meaning and then I will, inshallah, share with you the application. It is to thank Allah Azza wa Jal for His guidance. To mark this as a special day. Hey, I have just finished Ramadan. And do you know what it means that I finished Ramadan? That Allah had handed me this gift of His. All this month, 29 or 30 days, where I am fasting and praying, I'm making dua, I'm remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm going through some easy days, but then some difficult days. Some days were physically difficult. Some days were psychologically difficult, but I've gone through all of that, hoping from Allah Azza wa Jal to grant me His forgiveness and for me to be freed from hellfire, to gain Jannah. All this is a bounty, is a ni'mah, is a bounty from Allah Azza wa Jal. So, now that you finished it, you feel this ni'mah. You feel this ni'mah. So our Eid, and this is kind of the first and one of the most important stops, inshallah, and again, I'll come back to it at the end, about Eid, is that why is it that we're celebrating? We're celebrating the guidance of Allah, that He had given us this Ramadan, the opportunity to cleanse yourself, free yourself of sin, that you can win Jannah at the conclusion of this 30 days. That your life improves because of it. Your akhlaq improves because of it. Your spirituality improves because of it. How you deal with money, how you deal with family, how you deal with yourself matures because of it. If Allah Azza wa Jal had allowed us to experience all of this or put us on the footsteps of recognizing all of these realities. Because maybe I wasn't able now in this particular Ramadan to experience all of this. But one Ramadan is a stepping stone towards that realization, whether it happens in between Ramadans or in the next Ramadan, if Allah Azza wa Jalla extends our lives. So these are meaningful realization that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the most important thing that I have in my life. Just realizing this is a ni'mah. And you'll only realize this ni'mah when you realize that so many people, other people are deprived of it. They don't know Allah. They don't know the Prophet ﷺ. They don't know the meaning of life, why they were created, towards what they're going. What is the purpose of all of this. They don't know all of that. If Allah gives that to you, لِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ, you are saying, Ya Allahu Akbar, for what you have guided us. I know now that sweet feeling of worshiping Allah, being close to Him, that when something bad happens to me, I'm not alone. When I am depressed and I am sad, I'm not alone. When I'm afraid about the future, I'm not alone. I know that I can have Allah, I can lean on Allah Azza wa Jalla, and He makes everything better. When there is some bad episodes in my past or some difficult realities at this moment, I'm not alone. Allah is with me. And He had promised me that if I'm patient, He will compensate me and He will erase all of my pain and all my sadness. That realization requires Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar for this. Allahu Akbar, I've realized all of that. Allahu Akbar, I've experienced all of this. Allahu Akbar, I was able to say, Ya Allah, and I felt better because of it. Allahu Akbar for all of that. Allahu Akbar for the opportunity that I've done terrible things, but now all that could be forgiven. Allahu Akbar for all of this. So that's the time of takbir and why we're saying takbir. So it starts from Maghrib. And you can fill your entire night with it. You and your children and your wife and your family and your parents. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Praising Allah Azza wa Jalla at the end. And keep saying this as you are preparing the food, washing the dishes, cleaning the house, subhanAllah, vacuuming. This is male or female, right? Going, inshallah, getting the house ready, even if there are no guests coming. But you're getting the house ready for Eid, right? For your own self, right? So you're fixing the house, you're fixing yourself, changing the sheets. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. And you say it loud enough so that the whole house, especially if you have kids, but not only if you have kids. Why do I say especially if you have kids? Because this experience will influence the rest of their lives. They are going to remember their following Eids through what their parents have done or their grandparents have done. It is your behavior on Eid that is going to color the rest of Eids for the rest of their lives. They'll always look back at this and they will say, my parents used to do this during Eid. And it will matter. And they will carry this on, inshallah, when they celebrate that Eid when they're old, with their own children and family. So especially when you have children, but it doesn't stop there. It is also for you to notice that this is a special day, to honor that day. And we'll talk about this, inshallah. So you say this takbir throughout the night, before you go to bed, when you wake up, when does it stop? It stops all the way until, or it goes all the way until you arrive to the musalla, and in the musalla until you pray Eid. So some of us are going to be praying in the musalla for Eid in some countries and in some cities. Others are not. And that's fine, inshallah. You'll be praying Eid at home. So you pray, you continue your takbir until you start your salah at home, salatul Eid at home. So that is the time for takbir. And the Salaf used to do it, the Sahaba used to do it, the Tabi'een used to do it. So emphasize that. And don't discard it. Don't say, well, I'm alone. I don't have anybody around me. This is part of honoring the days of Allah Azza wa Jal, honoring the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, the days that are special to Allah and that Allah loves and He wants you to love. So say takbir and you will feel, inshallah, joy inside of you that you are honoring what Allah Azza wa Jal wants to honor. So now we have takbir. Now, of course, inshallah, you can pray your qiyam, you can pray your fajr, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. You don't miss those, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. Salatul Eid. Okay? When does Salatul Eid begin and how do you pray it? Well, before you head to Salatul Eid, if you're going to pray that on the in the musalla or in the masjid, or you're praying it at home, there are some sunnahs associated with Eid. What are those sunnahs associated with Eid? Bathing. Showering before you go to the musalla at the beginning of the day, before you pray, showering, bathing. So the Sahaba used to do that. And we know that this is a sunnah in Fridays. So Fridays, which are that weekly Eid, it's a sunnah to bathe and shower. So the Sahaba did the same for
عيد الفطر and عيد الأضحى. So we say it's the same thing. And it's subhanAllah, it just energizes you and it makes you feel that this is a special day that is going to come. And let's celebrate that Eid by doing this. The whole family, everybody, alhamdulillah, showers and they bathe at the beginning of the day before you head out to the musalla, to the masjid for Eid, or before you pray at home. So that's one sunnah that you want to do. The other sunnah that you want to do, inshallah, when are you going to pick your clothes for Eid? Whether you are going out or whether you are spending Eid inside and praying inside, choose the Eid clothing. Maybe you say, well, I don't have Eid clothing. It's a good idea, inshallah, to have Eid clothing. It doesn't have to be new clothing that you buy every Eid and every year. It doesn't have to be. It can. So if you bought new clothes for Eid, alhamdulillah, may Allah bless that for you and bless your money and bless, you know, what you've spent and make it for Allah's sake. Bring that out and wear that and let your children wear that so that you feel that this is a special day. Allah rewards you, by the way, when you do this for Allah's sake, to honor this day and celebrate it. Allah rewards you for what you've spent. So imagine, you're spending something for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You're spending something that you enjoy. You're buying something new. Spending on what you're going to be eating and drinking, and Allah rewards you for it. So get the new clothes out. You don't have those. You can have just a sign for yourself, Eid clothing. Special Eid clothing that you wear every year and every Eid. Get that out. Put it on, right? If not, you don't have that, any clothes that you've just washed, they smell good, put that on. So that is another sunnah of Eid, or another manner of Eid. New clothing or special clothing or just washed clothing for Eid so that you'd feel that there's something special about it. So now we bathe special clothing for Eid, putting on perfume, right? If you're heading out, for males only, not females. Male and females, when they leave the house, inshallah, they both should be dressed modestly, not in striking, attractive colors. Don't pick the best clothing that you have and go out to Eid. So that's a common mistake, right? No, when you head out as a female, inshallah, modest clothing that do not attract attention. Yes, you're allowed to celebrate Eid, inshallah, but that celebration is reserved for you, inshallah, when you come back home among family. But when you go to the masjid and musalla, modest clothing. And don't put perfume on as a female when you leave the house. Don't put makeup on as a female when you leave the house. Your Eid does not, you don't start your Eid like that. That would be a sin. But for males, yes, you can put on your best clothing, inshallah. And when you leave, perfume. Perfume for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Perfume, because it's Eid and it's a special day and you'll be meeting other Muslims. Even if you're not hugging and handshaking, but at least you're meeting other Muslims and to honor the day. Okay, what if I'm just staying home, not meeting anybody? Do I do this? Say, absolutely. Because it's not just about meeting another person. It's also about honoring that day, feeling that it's special. The smell, right? The smell of Eid is important. Psychologically, it's effective when you smell this musk or oud, or whatever smell you like. It psychologically affects you that, hey, it just enlivens your spirit, right? It excites you about the coming day. So please do that for your sake, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, for the sake of your spouse, for the sake of your children, for the sake of your parents. They might be down a bit because they can't visit other relatives, down a bit because they can't go to the masjid. But you, when you do this and you are excited about Eid, and by the way, may Allah reward you for it, if that's your attitude and motivation. If that's the case, you'll excite other people, you'll motivate them, you'll lift their spirits, and say, yeah, alhamdulillah, it is a special day, and they'll get excited. But if they're down and you're down and nobody feels like they want to celebrate and you sit, you know, back, you know, in your couch, just lazy, yeah, just you're not going to feel Eid at all. So if you're not going to invest something in your Eid, you're not going to feel it. So it's up to you. It's up to you and me. So put an effort, inshallah, in making this Eid special and every Eid special. So perfume on. And if you're a female praying at home, alhamdulillah, you're all right with your husband, you are with your kids. Put on the best clothing that you have when you're going to pray, inshallah. Even if they are colorful and what have you, that's permissible. There's no non-mahrim around you. Put on perfume, permissible. That's that you're inside your house. so that you can pray, inshallah. Add to this, inshallah, before your salah, whether you're heading out or you are praying at home, you break your fast, meaning you eat before the salah, dates, and you make them odd number of dates. That is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So before he heads out to the musalla, before they head out to the musalla, they would eat, he would eat sallallahu alaihi wasallam dates, and he would make them odd numbers. He'd eat 1, 3, 5, go crazy. You want 7, 11, right? So you want 7 or 11, whatever you want, inshallah. So we skipped 9, 7, 9 or 11, fine. Eat that, inshallah, that is sunnah. Why is that a sunnah? Because you rush to break your fast and to distinguish Eid from Ramadan. So it's not a day of fasting. So you eat dates, inshallah. You don't have dates, you ran out of dates, anything, anything that you have. So that the idea there, inshallah, is just to break your fast. So alhamdulillah, you've bathed, you have your new clothes on, you have the perfume on, you've just eaten your dates, time for salah, right? Time for your salah. If you're going to be praying outside, and we're just making that assumption because I don't know how many or where you're listening from and how many people can do this. If you're praying outside, you just simply head to the musalla, to the masjid, with your takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Another form to it, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa kabira, Allahu Akbar, wa ala ma hadana. Whatever, inshallah, you've memorized, whatever you are familiar with. You head to the musalla, you follow what the imam is doing. Oh, and yes, by the way, so that we don't forget, Zakatul Fitr. You make sure, inshallah, that you've paid Zakatul Fitr already. I hope that you've done that. If not, contact your local masjid right away and find out how you can pay Zakatul Fitr. Or go online and see if they still receive Zakatul Fitr in some charitable organization and pay it as soon as possible. But I hope, inshallah, that you've paid it. But if not, there's still time. So Zakatul Fitr is paid. Okay? So, Salatul Eid. In the Musalla, you follow what the Imam is doing. If not in the Musalla, if you cannot go outside your house to pray Salatul Eid, how do you pray it at home? So this is Salatul Eid, inshallah, in brief. And it is very simple. If you prayed it before, you remember how to pray it. It's basically two rak'ahs. When is the time of Salatul Eid start? It is the same time for Salatul Duha. So 15 minutes after sunrise to 15 minutes before Adhan of Dhuhr. All that time is Salatul Eid. So again, 15 minutes after sunrise. So Fajr, then you wait for sunrise, then you wait 15 minutes after sunrise, then that's the time to pray Salat al-Eid. And it extends all the way. So let's say, for instance, that your sunrise is at, hypothetically, it's at 6. 6:15 is when you can start praying Salatul Eid. And let's say that your the Adhan for your Dhuhr is at 1 o'clock. 12:45 is when you would be able to stop, or you should stop for Salatul Eid. So all that time is Salatul Eid, right? And praying it earlier is better and better, right? Praying it early is better and better. How do you pray it? Now you're home. And you can't go to the masjid. How do I pray it? Pray it in jama'ah. It's sunnah, or it is a fardu kifayah, obligation on the collective. Anyway, pray it because it is a valuable and an important salah. Right? How do you pray it? It's two rak'ahs. You have an imam, okay, the male who leads the salah, and the people are behind. Allahu Akbar. Okay, you start your salah just like any other salah. And so the total number of takbir in the first rak'ah is 7. Total number of takbir in the first rak'ah is 7. So you would say 7 times consecutively, Allahu Akbar. Then you start just like any other rak'ah, just like any other salah. You read Surah Al-Fatiha, you'll read the surah after, ruku' and sujood. Then you rise, Allahu Akbar. And when you stand, you give us 5 takbir. Allahu Akbar, consecutive. Allahu Akbar. Okay, you know, you're familiar with how that is done. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. The imam says this, and the people behind him, the congregation, follows. When you're done with that, you just finish your salah like any other rak'ah. The Fatiha, and then a surah, ruku' and sujood, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. That's it. It's very simple, inshaAllah. Now, the sunnah of the Prophet, ﷺ, if you want to follow it, is you know, in the first rak'ah, سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. In the second rak'ah, هل أتاك حديث الغاشية. Do I have to recite these two surahs? You don't have to. Any short surah would do, inshallah. Any short surah that you recite will do, inshallah. If you can do these surahs, it's wonderful. If you cannot, then that's enough, inshallah. You finish your salah, alhamdulillah, you don't have to go, you don't have to do the khutbah, right? The khutbah is in the congregation in the masjid, right? And listening to the khutbah, by the way, is a sunnah, right? But you could have regulations where the khutbah is very short because of the lockdown conditions, right? If you wish to stay, you can stay. If you wish not to stay because you feel it's safest to leave, you can leave, inshallah. It's not sinful to leave. So you can leave, inshallah, and you head back home. At least you prayed. But either way, pray Salat al-Eid, whether in the Musalla, in the masjid, or at home, inshallah. Then the rest of the day is up to you, inshallah, to do as you wish and as you like with your family. Now, the sunnah in Eid, and it's mustahab in Eid, at-tawsi'atu ala al-iyal, at-tawsi'atu ala al-ahl, meaning increasing your spending on Eid compared to other days of that year, or other on average day. Increasing your spending on eating and drinking and يعني halal entertainment so that you'd feel that it is Eid. So that you would celebrate that day. You feel that it is special. You would enjoy it. So if you do it with that intention, Allah Azza wa Jalla rewards you for it. So again, subhanAllah, I want you to notice here how you're spending to eat, you're spending to drink, you're spending, you buy yourself something new, you're buying your kids something new. But Allah rewards you for it. So at-tawsi'atu ala al-iyad, increasing or spending more on that day, within reason, of course, right? But spending more in comparison to other days of the year, to yesterday and the day after. So you buy extra food, you eat special food, you drink special drinks, you have halal entertainment, whatever is available inside the house or outside the house. And you entertain yourself, and you entertain your spouse, and you entertain your kids, so that they feel that this is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and this is special. Want us to remember, inshallah, that the celebration of non-Muslims are so attractive because they invest in those days. They decorate, they publicize, they sell, they spend money on them. And they invest or inject a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of interest in those days. So Muslims, we as Muslims, we look at those days, you look at the marvelous lights, look at the celebrations, look at the songs, look at the gifts, look at all of these things. And as human beings, we look at that and we say, we want that. We want to be happy. We want to enjoy. We want gifts. We want special things, special food, special songs, what have you. We want these things. And when we empty our Eid of all of these things and we just sit back and we're lazy to do anything special, of course our kids are going to grow craving the non-Muslim celebrations. And not only them, we. When we look at Christmas later on, right, when it comes, when we look at Thanksgiving, we look at any other celebration and they spend so much money on it and we haven't done our job when it comes to our Eid, of course we're going to wish for that and ignore our Eid. We need to switch all of this and make most of our spending on our Eid so that we get satisfied. We honor Allah Azza wa Jalla on that special day and we honor Islam on that special day and we celebrate something that Allah had given us, which is the day of Eid. So, wasi'u ala anfusikum. When that day comes, buy something special. Cook something special on Eid. And I'm not saying that this is the meaning of Eid. We're going to talk about the meaning of Eid. But it is definitely a way to express joy on Eid. Cook something special. Don't be lazy. Oh, I am so away from family. This is, in fact, more of a reason for you to do all of this. Okay? Still, you could be connecting with family, inshallah. And this is one of the things that we should do on Eid. But don't say that I'm so down because I'm so far away from family. I'm not going to do anything. I'm so down because I couldn't go to the masjid, so I'm not going to do anything. I couldn't go and visit people and then visit me, so I'm not going to do anything. I don't feel like it's Eid, so that's it. I've quit, and I'm just canceled this Eid. Maybe we'll think about the next Eid. We're doing this primarily for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If Allah Azza wa Jalla did not allow us to visit other people, still we have other aspects of Eid to celebrate. And we're celebrating Eid for Ramadan before, because of the gifts of Ramadan. So the celebration of Eid stays no matter how many people visit us or we visit. The celebration of Eid continues. It's because of the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Did the rahmah of Allah cease because we cannot go out and pray? Did the rahmah of Allah stop because we couldn't visit relatives? The rahmah of Allah is still there. So say thank you, Ya Allah. Say Alhamdulillah, Kabbirillah, elevate Allah and thank Him because of His hidayah. Alhamdulillah that Allah had enabled me to fast 30 days, to pray 30 days, to make dua 30 days. I am closer to Allah because of all of this. And Allah wants me now to say Alhamdulillah through eating and drinking. Are you not going to do this? So I want you, inshallah, to do all of that. So wasi'u ala anfusikum. So cook something special. Or buy from outside something special. Drink something special. Wear something special. Design that day. So once the salah is over, what are you going to do with your kids, inshallah? Games at home. Watch something halal at home. Go outside. Maybe, you know, you're not allowed maybe to travel within certain distances or visit other people. But maybe within certain distance, you can go out. Just observe your local regulations, inshallah, so you're not breaking the law. But within the regulations that you have, you can go maybe outside and take a tour of the city. Maybe you can go outside and buy something from a special place. Take the kids outside. You go outside as well. But do something. Do something so that you'd feel that it's special. And do something for their sake, for the sake of your spouse, for the sake of your parents, for the sake of your children, and ultimately also for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if we cannot connect with relatives physically, inshallah, we can do this, inshallah, by what? By talking to them, you know, call them, text them, video message them. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. How are you doing today? Inshallah, you're having a wonderful Eid. I just wanted to say salam to everybody. Just inject energy, inshallah. Inject energy because they need it. We need it, right? Alhamdulillah, you know, under lockdown for so many months, more than a year now, you know, in and out of lockdown, we need that. And you don't know how your smile, when you put the smile on your face and you talk to somebody else, or they sense that energy in your voice, how that is going to change their day. Make dua for them. And yeah, I forgot about this, you know, that when you meet other people inside the house, in the masjid, if you're going to the masjid, or when you talk to them, on the phone, online. تَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَّا وَمِنْكُمْ. That's the greeting. May Allah accept from us and you. تَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَّا وَمِنْكُمْ. Which tells you why we're doing all of this. May Allah accept from both of us. May Allah accept everything that you've done. Imagine, subhanAllah, if one says that, and it's a sincere dua, not just, you know, casual words that come out, but may Allah accept from you. And Allah accepts their dua. And Allah accepts what you've done in Ramadan because of that person when they said, may Allah accept from you. And all of that you've done in Ramadan is accepted. Imagine this, subhanAllah, when you meet Allah Azza on the Day of Judgment, you look at your scale, an entire Ramadan is in your scale. And Allah Azza says, okay, you are going to Jannah. Imagine, that's the Eid, right? You see, Ya Allah, subhanAllah, I was afraid of hellfire. In this dunya, I've gone through so much. And now at the end of it, now I just go to Jannah. That's it. I don't have to worry about anything at all. No sickness, no fear, no debts, no poverty, no enemy, nothing, no death, nothing. I'm just going to go to Jannah. And it's because of one of these Ramadans. And one of Muslims said to me, may Allah accept from you. And it got accepted. That's why you're doing all of this, right? May Allah accept from you. So mean this dua when you say it. May Allah accept from all of you. I'm saying that now, dua right now. May Allah accept from all of you. You know, may Allah Azza wa Jalla look at whatever you've done in this Ramadan, you and your families and loved ones, and says, I've forgiven you, right? That is the Eid. That is really the ultimate Eid. As you said, Alhamdulillah, done. Right? I have escaped the shaitan, I escaped my enemies. So may Allah Azza wa Jalla accept from all of us. So this is why we're doing it. So that's the greeting of Eid. Say that to everybody. And if you want to add to it, Eidukum Mubarak, may Allah bless your Eid. Ameen. May Allah bless your Eid. May every Eid, you know, come and you are safe and sound. Say that, whatever you want to say on top of that. But taqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum. This is a beautiful supplication. And you see, subhanAllah, how our Eid is really different. In other places and other Eids, marry this and happy that. This is for here and now. You can say to people, happy Eid. But this is for here and now. But we have another greeting. May Allah accept. Allah is in the greeting. And the acceptance is in the greeting. And the hereafter is in the greeting. May Allah accept from you. And if Allah accepts from you, as we said, this is your Eid. Okay, that's the final Eid when Allah gives you your book in your right hand. Go, you graduated. Go to Jannah right now. And you can't wait now when you're going to Jannah. Why don't you just imagine? SubhanAllah, I'm going to see my parents in Jannah. SubhanAllah, I'm going to see my siblings in Jannah. I'm going to see my children in Jannah. The door of Jannah is going to open and my house, my permanent house, not a house, a palace, bi-idhnillah azza, it's going to be in Jannah with all my family and going to be gardens and rivers and I'm going to sit and I'm going to relax. Just relax, that's it. You know that feeling when you can just sit and just relax, not worry about anything, I've done everything, I just can relax. And now soon I'm going to talk to Allah and Allah is going to talk to me and I'm going to see Allah. And then after that, I'm going to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I'm going to see the other prophets and the Sahaba. That's it. That's the Eid. And then, you know, if you're thinking, okay, what else is there? Whatever you wish for. Whatever you want to wish for. That's what you tell your kids, right? Whatever you wish for. You mean like video games and, you know, and I hope your kids are not playing video games, but you mean like this and you mean like that in your slides and, you know, candy and this, he say, whatever you wish for, right, is going to be there when you meet Allah Azza wa Jal. That is the real Eid. تَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَّا وَمِنْكُمْ. That's why we're doing all of that, right? I just noticed this question. Gift giving in Eid, is it halal? Absolutely halal. Because this is a adah. This is a custom. This is a urf. In some societies, in some cultures, you exchange money, right? Some societies and cultures, you exchange gifts. Permissible, inshallah, nothing against it. And if this is something that's going to bring joy to you and family members, go ahead and do it. May Allah Azza wa Jalla bless you for all of this. So this is, inshallah, Eid, right? And if I've missed something, maybe I've missed something, but if I missed something, let me know, inshallah, about it. Now, as far as like manners for Eid or as far as things that should be done in Eid. So if you have anything, inshallah, put that in the comments. Barakallahu feekum. Now, I want to say, inshallah, just briefly about the meaning of Eid, and then we'll take your questions. The meaning of Eid. All of the things that we talked about, new clothes, our special clothes, perfume, bathing, special food, special drink, just basically being happy, the greeting. All of these are expressions of joy, expressions of celebrations. These are the visuals and the smells of Eid, and they are really so important in Eid, by the way. They have to be there, and I'm emphasizing, make sure that they are there. The visuals of Eid and the smells of Eid, you make sure that they are there. And get your children, by the way, involved in that. If you say, my children are home and they're bored and they don't know what to do with Eid, it's not about sitting them in front of the TV and just watch TV. Get them ready in getting ready for Eid, by the way. Get the house ready for Eid. Help me cooking for Eid. Teach him the recipe of this cookie, this cake, that meal for Eid. Male or female, it doesn't matter. Get them involved. And as they are sitting with you, cooking and baking and cutting and cleaning, talk about Eid. Eid when you were young. Get their grandparents on the phone if their grandparents are alive, or their uncles and aunts. Get them on the phone. Let them talk to them about Eid when they were young. Oh, you used to do this and we used to do that, experience this, experience that. Make this, turn this, whatever lockdown you're in, into an opportunity. I don't know if I'm being too optimistic or not, but I think we can do this. Turn it into an opportunity of bringing the family together. We have the means, right? You have the gadgets, you have the connections. Bring the family together. Spend hours on the night of Eid together. Or in the morning of Eid together, talking to each other. What are you eating? What are you cooking? What are you doing? As if you're always all together. But let them talk to your kids. And you talk to your nephews and cousins, you know, about Eid. We used to do this and we used to live like that. And now I'm cooking this and I'm doing that. And this is how you cook it. Try it at home. SubhanAllah, make it alive. Okay? Inject life into it. So what I wanted to say, all these things are important. But these things are expressions of joy. The visuals and the smells, right? The sights of Eid. And I know we're missing that, especially outside. May Allah Azza wa Jal bring that. If you're missing it, may Allah Azza wa Jal bring it again soon so that you see it and enjoy it and you feel it inside. But that is not really the joy of Eid. Okay? That's not the joy of Eid. The real joy of Eid. The real joy of Eid stems from Allah Azza wa Jal and stems from our ibadah and the opportunity to do it. Because we're not happy because we're eating and drinking. That's an expression. Okay? It's an expression of what? What is the thing that is making you happy? And why am I saying all of this? In case, okay, you're spending Eid alone and there's not a lot of people around you. That is difficult. In case you're experiencing some hardship and you can't spend a lot of money on Eid as you used to before. And that is not easy. Can't eat as much as you used to before and buy as much as you used to before. In case, right? You're disconnected. A lot of us are like that. In case you're just simply feeling down. The fact is that you can't visit people or you can't spend a lot of money or you can't give gifts or cannot receive gifts. That in itself, though it is hard, that in itself is not Eid. It is children, may Allah Azza wa Jalla bless them all. It is children who only think and perceive Eid in terms of gifts and food and drinking. Okay, and playing outside. And it's important that they do this, by the way. It's really important that they do this. And it's important that we do this. I don't want you to say, because I'm not a kid, I'm not going to do these things. You go right now, inshallah, if you haven't done anything for Eid yet, you go outside, inshallah, right now, maybe not immediately, but whenever it's possible, you go and you buy stuff for Eid for yourself if you can, even if it's something simple. You don't have to spend a lot. If it's hard, inshallah, go online and see if there's something that you can buy online that can be delivered before Eid for yourself. You have permission, inshallah. You're no guilt at all with this. You don't have to spend a lot. $5, $10, but something. So these are expressions. But if these expressions are not there, it doesn't mean that our Eid is not there. Our Eid is there even if we are poor and alone. We want you to feel Allah Azza wa Jal on the inside. If Allah had forgiven you in Ramadan, this should give you joy on the day of Eid. When you're saying Allahu Akbar, it should come out from inside your heart. Allahu Akbar for this. Alhamdulillah for this. Alhamdulillah for this. And then anything small that you have becomes great. Everything simple that you have becomes like a feast, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. Because now you're eating something out of joy and contentment that Allah had forgiven, and we hope that Allah had done so. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla continue to do this and to continue to bless. Out of hope that whatever difficulty may have passed or may have been or still is not going to continue. It's not going to continue, bi-idhnillah. Because we have hope in Allah Azza wa Jalla. We have hope in Allah that whatever adversity in this life is short-lived. And it will end. And it is followed by Allah's extreme rahmah, extreme generosity, and extreme favors and blessings in this life and when we die and we meet Allah Azza wa Jal. So if Allah Azza wa Jal, as the Prophet says in the hadith, if he just puts you in Jannah for a minute and takes you out, all the suffering of this life disappears. If you just spend a minute in Jannah, how about if you spend an hour in Jannah? So all everything that we are experiencing in this life, that even the difficulty that may have been some days and some nights of Ramadan, now when you look at it at the end of Ramadan, you look and you say, subhanAllah, it's as if it wasn't. And it was worth it really just for the sake of that forgiveness and for the sake of me discovering the inner and the deeper meaning of Ramadan. The meaning of Ramadan, yeah, we stayed away from food to discover Allah Azza wa Jal. We stayed away from what we like to discover a greater like and a greater love, which is really the hereafter. That yes, Allah could take these things, but we still have iman. I still have iman with less food and less sleep and less water. I still have iman. So even if on the day of Eid, if I have less relatives around me, less food around me, less drinks around me, less money around me, it doesn't mean that you can be less happy. Your happiness stems from Allah Azza wa Jal and from expecting the best from Allah. So when you eat this date on Eid, on the morning of Eid, say Alhamdulillah, I'm expecting the best from Allah. And Alhamdulillah for Ramadan, I'm expecting the best from Allah because of Ramadan. May Allah accept that. That is the meaning of Eid. So Alhamdulillah, right? We're not, we have matured bi-idhnillah, that we're not on the level of children who only see in Eid food and drinks or gifts. Although I've just told you, right, I want you to also to enjoy Eid as adults because of food and drinks and gift and going out and doing whatever is possible, inshallah. Do all of these things. It's important. And entertainment, halal, entertainment, do all of this because it's really important. But I'm saying don't stop there, inshallah. Because you know now what is the deeper meaning of Eid, and that is what the ibadah, coming close to Allah Azza wa Jal and expecting the best from Him because of Ramadan, on the day of Eid and outside of Ramadan. So may Allah Azza wa Jal help us to enjoy Eid, and may Allah inject happiness in it, and may Allah Azza wa Jal make it the happiest or one of the happiest days of the year for us. But put an effort into doing that, inshallah. And remember, it is connected in Ramadan. So do your best in it and do the manners of Eid, inshallah, all of them. And don't, don't look down on any one of them. You say, I'm just sitting home. I put on, this thobe. For what? I'm just home. Put on the thobe, inshallah, because you will feel better. And the more that you honor Allah Azza wa Jal through these acts, the more that Allah Azza wa Jal will bless you and honor you. So may Allah Azza wa Jal give us all that. Ameen. So inshallah, let me answer as many of these questions as possible, bi-idhnillah. When two people are praying, is it shoulder to shoulder, heel to heel? Also, when someone is praying near to you, do you help them when they forget an ayah, but you are not praying? Na'am, inshallah. So when a person is standing right next to you, just two people, yes, shoulder to shoulder and heel to heel. They don't stand behind you, right, or slightly behind you. Although some of them, they will say this. But the accurate opinion is that you stand shoulder to shoulder. Exactly. You line up exactly, shoulder to shoulder, heel to heel. If a person is praying next to you and they forget, you can correct them, inshallah, even if you're not part of the salah. So they forget, you're not part of the salah, you're outside the salah, you can still remind them, inshallah. Okay. Can a female pray Salatul Eid by herself alone if there's no one at home? Absolutely. Absolutely, inshallah. So if this is a good question, inshallah, just barakallahu fiki for bringing this to our attention. So if there's nobody at home, you're just alone, right? And either male or female, do you pray Eid? And there's no prayer outside. Yes, you pray Eid by yourself at home. Or let's say, for instance, something that happens sometimes. You go to the musalla or to the masjid, and you find out that what they just finished praying. What do I do? Pray Eid in the Musalla by yourself. Or if you wish, come back home and pray your Eid. Okay? So if you miss the Jama'ah, Eid Jama'ah, you still can pray Eid alone. In the Musalla, in the Masjid if you wish, or you pray it at home. Right? Or if you catch the Imam in the second Rak'ah. Okay? I know that this is beyond what the questioner have asked for. You catch the Imam in the second Rak'ah of Eid. What do? You join them in the second Rak'ah. And then when you stand up when he says salam, you stand up and you bring another rak'ah. And whether you inject whether you put the takbirs in it or not, it doesn't affect your salam. So that if you catch the imam in the second rak'ah, so full rak'ah with the imam, then you stand up. And now you're going to pray the second rak'ah. You can do five takbirs. You say Allahu Akbar and they say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, the five. Or not. Just pray in a regular rak'ah and finish. That your prayer is valid, inshallah. Do we still do duha after Salatul Eid? Yes, inshallah. Yes. So if you're praying your Salatul Eid directly after sunrise, you pray your sunrise, your Salatul Eid, and then after Salatul Eid, whenever you want, inshallah, you can pray your duha. So absolutely, right? And or if your Salatul Eid is delayed a little bit, so in the Musalla or in the Masjid, if they're not praying it directly after sunrise and you still have some time for Salatul Duha, you can pray Salatul Duha first, up to you. Salatul Duha, then Salatul Eid, or Salatul Eid, then Salatul Duha. Whatever works for you, inshallah. And based, on your schedule the rest of the day, inshallah. Gift giving in Eid is halal, we said that, inshallah, it's fine. Because it's adab, it's just a custom, inshallah. Ameen, inshallah. May Allah grant us all the forgiveness. Ameen, inshallah. So we answered this. What's the rule on exchanging gifts or giving gifts for Eid? We said it's permissible, inshallah, because it's not recommended, and it's also not discouraged. So it's just a custom. You want to exchange things, it's up to the custom of people. If they want to do this, they can, inshallah. Does this practice imitate Christmas custom? No, inshallah, no. How about distributing Eid money? Is this as the same too? That's fine, inshallah. So you can give Eid money or give Eid gifts, right? That's possible. Because in general, the Prophet ﷺ recommended gift giving. So if a person decides that they want to do this in Eid, it's up to them. As I said, this is not something that all Muslims do in every continent and every country. In some countries they do, in some countries they don't. And that tells you that it is just subject to custom, right? So if you want to do it, inshallah, it's permissible. And it's adah. And it's not done in imitation of Christmas. This is something that Muslims have done right long before they've got to know the modern celebration of Christmas, right? No, Allah. inshallah. So, will women who do not have a spouse in this dunya, will Allah reward them with a hur man in Jannah, right? Or is it only for men? Naam, inshallah. There's nothing, naam. You kind of, instead of hur in, hur man, right? Naam, inshallah. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that there is no bachelor or bachelorette in Jannah. There's no bachelor or bachelorette in Jannah, right? So anyone who did not get married in this dunya, male or female, when they enter Jannah, they get married, right? They get married. So if a female did not get married in this dunya, when she goes to Jannah, Allah Azza wa Jal will match her with someone in Jannah. Or she'll be matched, let's say. She'll be matched with someone in Jannah. So she will not remain a bachelorette. Right? Or, if somebody, you know, she's a convert and her husband, he does not accept Islam. So anyway, she does not, remains unmarried, right? As she was in the dunya. So, rest assured, inshallah, that whatever you wish for, and that's the thing, inshallah, just keep that in mind. Whatever you wish for in Jannah, you'll receive, right? Whatever you wish for, right? So that in that state where Allah, after Allah gives you everything, and after witnessing the marvelous journey of death and resurrection and all, whatever then you wish for, Allah will give to you. Now, so when people doing i'tikaf of masjid, when do they go home? So if you're doing i'tikaf, there are two possibilities, inshallah, that you finish your i'tikaf at the end of Ramadan. So the end of Ramadan, when the adhan calls of Maghrib, and you finish your fast, and now the night of Eid, you finished it, and you head home, and then you bathe and shower and what have you, fix yourself, and you head to the Eid Musalla. That's regular circumstances. I don't know a lot of places that have i'tikaf on earth today. Maybe some places. Other possibility when you're doing i'tikaf is you leave from your mu'takaf to the Musalla of Eid. So you're doing i'tikaf and you finish Ramadan and you spend the night of Eid in the mu'takaf, in the masjid, if the masjid allows you, right? Because some masjids don't. So you spend the i'tikaf, you continue that i'tikaf of night of the Eid in the musall, in the masjid, and then you pray Fajr in the masjid, and then you head outside, you head to the musalla. Or if it's not prayed in the musalla, you pray it in the masjid, you pray it Eid in the same masjid, and then you leave. So some people will connect their i'tikaf all the way to Eid prayer. And some will now leave right after, inshallah, they finish their Ramadan. So it depends, right, if the masjid allows it or not, and if you can shower at home, or if you can shower in the masjid or not. Because that's a sunnah, right? Or that's one of the adab. So you will need to shower as well. So does the masjid allow this, or do you need to leave the house? So that also, inshallah, will dictate when you end your i'tikaf. Is Eid khutbah compulsory? No. So we said that if you're praying in the masjid or the musalla and it's time for Eid khutbah, You finish the musalah and then the khutbah comes. You don't have to stay. You can leave if you wish. So especially if you don't feel safe or it's a gathering or you just want to leave and get back home as soon as possible, you can do that, inshallah. In normal circumstances, I would recommend to people, you know, sit and listen to the khutbah. And these times, if you feel unsafe, just head back home, inshallah. Can I know the hadith? Okay, when people doing that, yeah. Can I know the hadith so I can share the knowledge with someone who wants it? I don't know what hadith that is, inshallah. So let me know what hadith that is. Is Eid khutbah compulsory? I just read. How do we know which Eid nasheed we can play in the house for the kids? Inshallah, look at nasheeds that don't have music in them. Right? Look at nasheeds that don't have music in them. Don't look at entertainment, cartoons for kids that don't have music in them. Try your best, inshallah. So nasheeds with no music and entertainment without any music, inshallah. I know it's difficult, but try it, inshallah. And I know that some sisters before, they did share something about this, but I don't know if they're online now or if they know what it is, inshallah. So maybe if they're online, they can share it. And if not, I'll ask them, inshallah, to share it later, maybe through Facebook or what have you, inshallah. Inshallah. So anyway, inshallah, just go online. There are some channels. If you have some channels, inshallah, that kind of like satellite channels or online channels of Islamic channels that broadcast Eid songs and Eid nasheeds, and by songs I mean nasheeds, Eid entertainment, and you have that, and you know them to be good, alhamdulillah, and they follow the Quran and Sunnah, you can put on that channel and have the kids watch it, inshallah, that'd be good, inshallah. But it's not just about TV. You can play games with them at home. You can take them outside a little bit, you know, within, you know, the local guidelines. That all, inshallah, just will enliven the Eid, inshallah. Taking something, example dates before Eid al-Fitr Salah and taking something after Eid al-Adha, is it authentic? Yes. Yes, that's authentic. What a wife has to expect towards her husband to fulfill blessed marriage, follow Islam way. Because I have read a lot of women expect honesty from husband in marriage, but in Islam, men allows to marry four wives. Did Prophet wives jealous to each other? If so, how do they overcome the jealousy? That's a really difficult question to answer at this moment, right? I can just give you snippets. Okay, so honesty, of course. And so the issue of marrying more than one woman or not, it's a complicated one. So it's not advisable at all times. But if a man wants to do this, you have to be absolutely honest with your wife. And do not advocate at all hiding that from her. So I don't know if that's what you're talking about. Were the wives of the Prophet sometimes jealous? Yes, they were. Aisha radiallahu anha were at times jealous, and she was known for being jealous. How did she do this? How did she deal with it? This is a natural feeling that all of us have. As we feel envious at times, as we feel angry at times, and as we feel any emotion that we have when somebody does something to us or somebody has what we do not have. But the thing is, do we just simply surrender to it? Do you say, I'm simply an envious person? That's it. Or do you say, I have envy, and all of us have it, but I'm dealing with it. And I'm asking Allah Azza wa Jalla to overcome it. So anger is the same thing. Do you just say, I'm just an angry person? That's it. Or do you say, I deal with it? Do you say, I'm just weak? I can't stay away from haram? Or do you say, I'm dealing with it? And I have a desire to do the haram, but I'm just weak. You say, I'm dealing with it. I'm asking Allah to help me. So I'm not here saying that every single man should marry more than one. But I'm saying when Allah Azza wa Jalla allowed it, okay, He did allow it, knowing very well, right, that some women or many women will be jealous. Is that a reason to say, okay, I'm jealous, that shouldn't happen? It's just to say, okay, there is this feeling, and it's a test from Allah Azza wa Jalla, just like any feeling that we have, you deal with it, inshallah, right? But it's a complicated question, right? It's hard to answer this because previously when we talked about it, and go inshallah, because I did talk about it in some detail, when I talked about the series, Islamic Ethics, or Islamic etiquette, لأداب الإسلامية, there was a portion, inshallah, and that whole series is online on YouTube. So check, inshallah, there are titles to each lecture. When we talk about marriage, inshallah, just listen to it, because we talk about that particular issue, inshallah. We just discuss it in some detail. So just about marrying more than one. So inshallah, check that out, inshallah. I think you'll find it beneficial, inshallah. Does that mean that she will not be rewarded if she is divorced? No, absolutely not. I mean, if a woman is married, this is the question, if she's not married here, and she goes to Jannah, does that mean that she will not be rewarded in Jannah with a husband if she's divorced? No, absolutely not. If you don't have, if you're unmarried, this is what I meant, that's what the Prophet ﷺ meant by it, right? If you're unmarried here, whether you are a bachelorette, never married, or divorced, if you're unmarried here and you are in Jannah, you will be married. You're not going to be remain unmarried in Jannah, whether you are male or female. So inshallah, put your mind at ease, inshallah. If a woman is divorced in this world, she's not going to be unmarried or without a husband in Jannah. She will have a husband. Right. Question about noon timing, the time which we are not allowed to do sujood. How can we calculate that? This is the time. We cannot do any sujood or sunnah because timings of sun are constantly changing. So remember when we said the time of Eid is about till 15 minutes before Adhan al-Dhuhr? That's it. So that the time that you're talking about is what? So the sun, right, rises. So let's say this is the horizon. So the sun rises, right? And it continues to rise, and it reaches the highest level in the sky. When it reaches the highest level in the skies, as long as it is there, right, until it moves. So when it moves, that's Dhuhr time. So at the highest level in the sky, the zenith, that is what's not allowed for you to pray. It usually takes from 10 to 15 minutes at the highest level or the highest point in the sky till it moves to Dhuhr. So that's what we say. If you take, this is the movement when it's moved to Dhuhr, right? You subtract 10 to 15 minutes before that, that's the highest in the sky. The sun, the highest position in the sky. So in general, we say to be safe, 15 minutes. So let's say, for instance, our Dhuhr, you know, where we live is at 1:15. At 1 o'clock, I will not stop praying. I'll not pray sunnah, no duha, till 1:15. 1:15, they call the adhan, I can start praying again. So 15 minutes before adhan of Dhuhr, this is when you don't pray anymore. Is the Eid celebration only for one day? Yes, it is one day. So Eid al-Fitr, it is one day. But it doesn't mean, right? So if for us, you know, subhanAllah here, Eid is going to be on Thursday. Friday. Isn't Friday Eid? So you do something on Friday too. And then you get the weekend too. It doesn't mean that you need to stop. Yani technically, Eid is one day. But it doesn't mean that you need to stop. Can't you stretch it? You have Friday and you have the weekend. You can still do things on the Friday and you can still do things on the week, the weekend, inshallah. Why do we say technically? Why is it different when we say technically? Because when we say technically Eid is one day, it's haram to fast on that day. Haram to fast. But once that's over, you can fast the second day of Eid. So technically it's not Eid. But if you want to also do something on that Eid, you want to take a trip whenever that is possible, wherever that is possible. You want to take a trip. You want to go to a bakery and buy a cake. You want to, subhanAllah, take your kids to the playground or to whatever to play or go and purchase something for them. That's still okay. You can stretch it out, inshallah. So you don't need to be restricted, that everything needs to be done on the first day, and that's it. So when we say technically, I'm sorry, I've hit that on my laptop. So when I say technically, I mean by it that's haram to fast on that day, but you can stretch your celebration, inshallah, beyond. Hadith for standing heel to heel and shoulder to shoulder. The hadith there is because they say there is no guidance in the Quran or in the Sunnah to say that when you only are one person with another praying jama'ah, that he needs to step back. They said there is lack of guidance, there's lack of Sunnah on that part. So even though you are, that's one. Second, when the Prophet ﷺ, I can't quote you the source at this moment, when the Prophet ﷺ was praying Qiyam. And I think it was Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu who spent the night and was unplanned. No, not a bid'ah, not a bid'ah. Just listen to me, inshallah, and I'll tell you, inshallah. So Ibn Abbas was spending the night. And he woke up when the Prophet ﷺ was praying Qiyam. So he went, Ibn Abbas, without seeking permission from the Prophet, but because it was allowed. He went and he stood on next to the left of the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet held him and moved him to the right. قَالَ فَأَقَامَنِي بِحِذَائِهِ He said, he made me stand next to him. Right next to him. So it doesn't stay there that he made me stand slightly behind him. Right? He didn't say slightly behind him, but right next to him. That is evidence. I just remembered it as I was answering your question. That is evidence that when you're praying jama'ah, you stand right next to the imam if you are just two people, males. If it's a female, the female stands behind you, even if she's your wife. But if two males, right next to each other. You say, does it mean that it's a bid'ah? We don't say that it's a bid'ah. We say it's contrary to the sunnah. Why do we say that it's not a bid'ah? Because we have other madahib who are saying that you stay slightly behind. And they're trying to base it on some evidence, maybe because this has not reached them, right? Okay. By Ibn Abbas, right? So he stepped right next. Ibn Abbas stood right next to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, this is where he made me stand. So that's clear evidence for it. Why we don't say that if a person stands right, you know, right behind the imam, that it's a bid'ah? Because we have other madahib who are saying you should do this. And they're trying to, you know, other scholars of Islam, and they're trying to base it on some evidence. So we don't say it's a bid'ah. We're saying that it's not the sunnah. That's the clear sunnah, the authentic sunnah, is that you stand right next to the imam, right? And that is insufficient, inshallah. So there's this question. I hope that the person who asked it is still there. Let me answer this one. I sometimes listen to Islamic lecture while doing housework. It can include cleaning the washroom. Is it okay to listen to Islamic lecture using my AirPods while cleaning the bathroom? That's fine, inshallah. So I hope that the one who asked it is still there on Instagram. So if you're listening to something, right, and it's just going inside your ear, right, inside your ear, and you're basically cleaning the house, including, right, cleaning the bathroom, it's going inside your ear, inshallah, right? So it's not, or it's outside. So it's broadcasting outside, and it reaches your ear inside. It reaches you from outside, right? So, you know, your computer, let's say, for instance, or your device is playing on the outside and the sound extends all the way to the inside the washroom. That's allowed, isn't it? Just like what? Let's say, for instance, you're inside the bathroom and you hear the adhan. Do you have to close your ears? Or there's a khutbah from the masjid. The masjid is so close. You can hear it and you're in the washroom. Do you have to close your ears? So the same thing. Your ear pods, okay, and you're inside your ear. That's fine, inshallah, right? Or the recorder, let's say, right? And it's outside the washroom playing, that's fine. As long as either the source is outside or the earpods are inside your ears, inshallah. That's fine, inshallah. So you're good to go, inshallah. Let me see here. There is, if life insurance is halal, this life insurance is not halal. If you can't opt out of it, you can't opt out of it. So if something is compulsory, let's say, for instance, you get a job and the job makes it compulsory that you can't opt out of insurance in general or life insurance, you just simply cannot opt out, then that's it. You can't opt out. You can't decline it. That's it, right? So you have to, right? But if you get the money, that money is not yours, right? You take your portion. If you did contribute anything towards it, you take your contribution and the money is not yours because that's not really yours. But if you can opt out, you can opt out, inshallah, right? Long-term disability insurance, I don't really know about it, right? I don't really know about it. And again, if it's compulsory, it's compulsory. If it's voluntary and you say, is it allowed that I take long-term disability insurance? I have no clue about what is long-term disability insurance and why a person would need it, right? So, Allahu A'lam. I don't know much about this.
So let me see if there are any more questions. So there's a question here. It says, my friend always greets me in her occasion, in her occasions like Christmas and Easter, and on my occasion like Ramadan and Eid. I feel like it's rude for not greeting her on her occasions. Yani, I mean, I don't know where you live. And if you live in a Western country, because it matters. Because in Western countries, they don't... Alhamdulillah, you're listening. Alhamdulillah. If you're living in Western countries, so I'm assuming you're living in a Western country. It gets awkward, I understand. If you're living in a Western country, because if you're living in a Muslim country, that's why it's different. If you're living in a Muslim country, it's generally known, right, that we don't celebrate these things. We don't celebrate Christmas. We don't celebrate Thanksgiving. We don't celebrate this and this and this. So they're not going to greet you with that, right? So it's just a burden off your shoulder. You don't have to say something back to them. If you're living in a non-Muslim country, it just comes out something, Merry Christmas, something, something, what have you. So what I advise people to do, is just to simply say, which is the most kind of innocent of replies, happy holidays. Just happy holidays, right? Why happy holidays? Because it is a season of holidays. And you're just wishing them that these holidays would be just happy for them. Not necessarily that Christmas, because everybody takes a break. And during these days, Christmas, before it, after it, it's a break for everybody, whether you believe in these things or not. So it's a holiday. So the most innocuous of and the most innocent of replies, happy holidays. And in saying that also, you're telling them, I mean, I don't really celebrate these things, so I can't really say happy or Merry Christmas. If you can communicate to your colleagues that this is not something I celebrate, it's safest. But if you're stuck, and I understand that sometimes you're really stuck, somebody at the grocery store who's really nice to you and they say Merry Christmas, and okay, what are you going to say now? And you don't have the time to stop and explain to them, hey, by the way, I don't. And so the most innocent of things is just to say happy holidays, right? So in those circumstances, that's what I recommend, inshallah. So I've answered this one, your question about Christmas and Tayyib, inshallah. Can I pray Eid twice, one at the local musalla and another one to lead my female family members at home? Yeah, you can. You can, inshallah. So praying Eid twice, a good question. Barakallahu fi. Again, I hope anybody who listens, who asks a question is still there, because I really want you to hear the answer to your questions, inshallah, even if it takes a little bit longer. So I apologize if it's a bit long. Anyway, you can pray Eid in the musalla, and you can come back home and pray Eid at home. Why can you pray Eid at home? Because A, it's sunnah. You know, your intention is not another Eid, by the way. Your intention is sunnah. You can make it duha if you wish. So you're saying, how does this work? You go to the musalla or masjid, you pray Eid. Come back, your family hasn't prayed Eid. They want to pray in jama'ah. So you lead them. Your intention is what? I'm going to be praying duha. Or I'll be praying sunnah, just mutlaq, nafil mutlaq, just sunnah. So you say Allahu Akbar. But you say, but I'm adding takbir. You say, fine, takbir is sunnah, tasbih is sunnah, la ilaha illallah, al-hawla is sunnah. So say it for their sake. And it's sunnah, inshallah. It's permissible, inshallah, right? So good question, inshallah. Barakallahu feek. I hope you're there, inshallah. So you're living in a Western country, inshallah. So yeah, happy holidays, inshallah. So if somebody tells you, Merry Christmas, Merry this, Merry that, and you get stuck, they're not really close friends. Close friends, you will tell them, you know, it's awkward to reply with these greetings because I don't really celebrate these things. But if you don't feel even comfortable saying that to them because whatever reason, inshallah, happy holidays. So I think I find it easiest and the most innocent of replies, and it does not involve admitting that it is Christmas or I'm greeting you because of Christmas, or no, your intention when you're saying it, this is a season of holidays, and you know, happy holiday, happy break. Wallahu a'lam.
Someone asked me, is the Prophet's parents will enter Jannah with him since they both died before the Prophet? What should I tell them? And then if it is only females in the home, how about the Eid prayers? They pray, they can pray in Jama'ah. Only females, they can pray in Jama'ah, right? And the way that they line up is that the Imam will be a female, will line up in their midst. One line. If they need to, they can be two lines. They can form two lines, but with the first line with that imam, who is the female, and other female members on both sides. If there's a need for even more females to line up, and there's no space in the first line, you can form a second line. So any prayer that a female will lead, she will lead other females, and she'll be in their midst, not ahead of them, but in their midst. And she leads the salah. طيب, inshallah. Somebody asked me about the parents of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's in the authentic hadith. Yes, she can lead. Women can lead other females. A woman can lead the salah. She can lead the salah of obligations. She can lead other females. She can lead them in a sunnah, other females, right? Yeah. Final question, I think, wallahu a'lam. Yeah, in Eid, inshallah, she can lead. Because it's a sunnah. It's a prayer that is a sunnah. And if she has other females in her household and she wants to do it in jama'ah, they pray together. She leads and they line up to her side. One to the one here and one here. Two here, six here, right? Now, so about the parents of the Prophet ﷺ, it's there in the Sahih. There in the Sahih Hadith. That the Prophet ﷺ said that inna abi wa abaka finna, because somebody came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, where is my father? He said, your father is in hellfire. He went back sad. He called him and he said, your father and my father are in hellfire. So that's one hadith. And the Prophet, in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he was crying and he was said that I asked Allah for permission that I would stop to ask forgiveness from my mother because he was passing by her grave and he did not grant me that permission. So that's in the Sahih Hadith as well. So yes, they did die before the Prophet ﷺ, but some people who died before the Prophet died in fatra meaning that they were not exposed to guidance. And some who died before the Prophet ﷺ, if we are told in a hadith that no, they are in hell, it means that they were exposed to enough guidance for Allah Azza wa Jal from the message of Ibrahim and Ismail that they were held responsible for it by Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is not an opinion or something that we decide on our own with our intellect or emotions, right? This is up to Allah Azza wa Jal. So leave this matter to Allah Azza wa Jal. As far as we know from the hadith, he said that, no, Allah did not grant him the permission to ask forgiveness for his mother, right? So that is up to Allah Azza wa Jal. We just stop where Allah Azza wa Jal asked us to stop, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped as well. So we will just say that and we leave the rest to Allah Azza wa Jal. So, inshallah, in conclusion, inshallah, I think we've answered everything, I hope. So in general, inshallah, we say, first, you still have one day of Ramadan. Don't forget about that day. May Allah Azza wa Jal give you the energy to listen to obey Allah Azza wa Jal on that day. And accept from all of us. Ameen. Inshallah. Also, the second thing, may Allah accept from all of us. This is the last, inshallah, of the series. So may Allah Azza wa Jal make its conclusion the best of conclusions. I ask Allah Rabbil Alameen that you found it beneficial. It's all recorded, inshallah. It's all on YouTube. The whole series is on a playlist. If you ever feel the need to go back and listen to anything, inshallah, listen to it, inshallah. If you want to stay, inshallah, connected, subscribe to any of these platforms. YouTube, if you wish. So Eid, inshallah, is most probably on Thursday. Okay? Eid is most probably on Thursday. I don't know where you live exactly and if they have any local announcements, but it's probably going to be on Thursday, inshallah, because they have not sighted, as far as I know, in any place in the world. And it's going to be difficult to sight. Wallahu a'lam. It's not conclusive, but it's going to be difficult to decide. So just wait till you hear local announcements from your masjid. But it's probably, most probably, will be on Thursday. So, again, the whole series is available on a playlist on YouTube. If you want to stay connected, inshallah, subscribe to any of these platforms. I've also posted on live chat on YouTube, Telegram channel. Subscribe to it if you wish, inshallah, so that you can receive updates. I think it's probably also posted on Facebook. I'm not sure. I did not pay attention if it was posted there as well. Remember, inshallah, everything that we said about Eid and the manners of Eid, may Allah Azza wa Jal make it a blessed Eid for everybody and a blessed Eid for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know and we understand that a lot of Muslims today are experiencing a lot of difficulty. They're going through a lot of difficulty. So we remember them in your dua. May Allah Azza wa Jal bring ease and relief to them. May Allah Azza wa Jal take the source of their suffering away. And may Allah Azza wa Jal bring happiness and comfort to their souls and to their families and to their bodies and to their cities. Ameen. To every single Muslim. Ameen. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. We ask Allah at the conclusion of this series, and as we are approaching, Ramadan is not over yet, but as we approach Ramadan and the end of Ramadan, Ya Allah, accept this Ramadan from us and accept our dua in it, accept our fasting in it, accept our qiyam in it. Make all of that iman and wahtisaba for your sake, out of iman and out of your Allah, out of love for you and out of seeking your forgiveness and seeking Jannah and fleeing from hellfire. We ask you, Rabbil Alameen, to bless Eid for us. Allow us to follow the best of manners in it, the best of etiquettes. Make it a Eid for your sake. Make us happy in it. Inject happiness in it. Make us of those who follow the sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in it and spread joy and happiness to everybody around them. And make us a source of spreading joy and happiness as throughout our lives, Ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah accept from all of us. May Allah accept from all of your families and, you know, loved ones. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless you and your parents and all everyone that you love and everyone who's around you. May Allah Azza wa Jal accept us in His mercy and protect us from hellfire and protect us from His anger. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Taqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum. Continue to make dua. May Allah Azza wa Jal make this Ramadan a blessed Ramadan. And may Allah Azza wa Jal extend all of our lives upon His obedience so that we can witness the next Ramadan and make the next Ramadan even better than this Ramadan. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. A better Ramadan for us and for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for the entire world. Ameen. جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. And don't forget about your zakah. And don't forget about your zakah, inshallah, before Ramadan ends, because, you know, it's an obligation and it will purify Ramadan for you. So don't forget about your zakah. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Forgive us all and accept from us all. Barakallahu feekum. We conclude by Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa an. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Allahumma laka alhamdu. An'amta fazid rabbal alameen. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una. Wanfa'na bima allamtana. Wazidna ilman rabbal alameen. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. Wa fil akhirati hasana. Wa qina athab al-nar. Allahumma taqabbal minna. Innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. Allahumma ja'alna minal muttaqeen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.